Welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle. I'm your host, Joshua Smith. Hope everyone's having a wonderful Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? I think it's Wednesday. I'm pretty sure it's Wednesday. We got a great show for you guys tonight. I'm very excited, but let's start off with some sponsors. Of course, we have TopLobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, and my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get, I'm wearing my Mad One shirt tonight, so you can't get this on TopLobster.com, but you can get all kinds of great stuff, including this great custom Break the Cycle pillow that I'm got next to me on every episode. And you can get a 10% discount by using BTC at checkout, or you can join the Patreon, subscribe star, or become a member of the YouTube channel right under all of my videos by hitting join for like $6 a month and get into the private Discord server where you can get all of Top Lobster's new gear up to 2 weeks before it goes to the public at a 30% discount. Really pays for itself, man. It's good stuff. And of course, executive producers of the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a wonderful job that the government has historically sucked at, much cheaper and much more efficiently. Seriously, guys, if you own a business, check them out. They're awesome. I promise you will not be disappointed. Guys, we've got a pretty dope show for you tonight. I'm excited. Several months ago, you may have remembered that there was some kind of beef going on Twitter, and I looked into this gentleman. Seemed like a cool guy, combat veteran, savage Twitter troll. He is the bane of Lulbert's existence. He is Mr. Grumpa. How you doing today, sir? Uh-oh, I lost your audio, buddy. Are you muted?
I put myself on mute because I farted earlier. I didn't want to break your podcast.
That's so cool, man.
I am here and I am making it. So we're living.
Nice, dude. Well, thank you so much for checking it out and coming to hang out with us. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of people in the chat excited to see you. But let's start off with your journey, man. Your military service. You're a combat vet. I know that some of this stuff was called into question recently. So why did you join and what did you do, man?
You know, this is like definitely going to anger the Lulberts, but I actually joined because I was overcoming, like, at that time, like, I was kind of a leftist. Like, I actually believed, like, in what the left stood for and, you know, wanted to kind of free the oppressed. And yeah, I had no interest really in, like, saving Afghanistan or Iraq, at least initially. Like, I just joined just to fight, just to try to make something better. And I was kind of getting into conservatism, kind of getting back to my roots and how I was raised, and felt like that was a good place to go. It would teach me at least the skills that I thought one day might be necessary, still do think. And so, yeah, I think I joined at 19 on October 28, 2003.
Oh shit. Yeah. So right around the same time I joined not long after 9/11. I always forget if it was 2003 or 2004 when they declared war, George Bush, on Iraq.
It's 2003.
Was it?
I know. Yeah. I mean, I joined right after. I think it was April 2003 is when we invaded Iraq. And yeah, I mean, watching like the statue of Saddam get pulled down and stuff, man, that was powerful propaganda. It got me.
Did you see that? So you joined after that.
Yeah, I joined after that, like, and was like in the delayed entry program forever, like, sure, 9 months or something.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I was telling you before, I joined not long after 9/11, and it was like boot camp. And I remember because we weren't at war, like when I went to boot camp, you know what I mean? We weren't at naval war, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking like, oh, the Navy, this is going to be easy. You know, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to get to see all these countries and shit. And they like march us over to the drill hall and set us all down on the bleachers, like every division. And I don't even remember who it was that came in, like maybe the CEO of the base, but he came in and he's like, I just want everyone in this room to know that you're going to war. Everyone here is going to war. And I'm like, oh shit, dude, what the fuck? You know, like, and then I started thinking about it. I was like, I'll be on a ship. I'll be fine. But yeah, we went, I went to my first command. I mean, it was like boot camp school, boom. I was on my command and we were out to sea. It was almost, probably 6 months altogether, less than that. And I was gone. And, we were supposed to do a year-long world cruise on the Connie. We were supposed to do Hong Kong, Singapore, all these Australian ports. I mean, I was so excited. I was a 19-year-old kid. Super stoked.
Yeah, sounds cool.
Yeah, you hear all these stories about all these different ports. You're like, this is going to be awesome. But we did Hong Kong, Singapore, pulled into the Gulf. George Bush declared war on Iraq, and that's where we stayed. I mean, we planted our ass there. We were running like 36-hour flight ops. The birds would leave and come back and leave and come back all day long. And I think we dropped like 100 million tons of ordnance on Baghdad or something like that. Fucking some ungodly number. But we were the shock and awe campaign. I mean, our battle group was, I mean, there was two battle groups, but ours was the biggest part of it. And then we were relieved by the Lincoln, I think, when we pulled out of there. And it was like Australia and then home. That was it, you know? So I didn't get to go and see all the countries I thought I was going to see. But so you were in Iraq and then also Afghanistan, right?
Yeah, Afghanistan first, and then technically Iraq twice, although it was really only split by like 6 total days, I think. Like, I came back a little bit earlier. It's kind of a weird story, but yeah, basically Afghanistan and Iraq technically twice, but really just once.
What were like
just the, like a really short break?
What were like the differences between those two wars, man, for you? Could you tell us some?
Yeah, I hated Afghanistan, like, from the first second I was there. I was also, part of the story is, I signed up to be Special Forces, and I actually got caught drinking underage.
Oh, good.
In Fayetteville, and so, like, they were nice to me, though. I'd already completed selection in SWCC, and so they just said, you know, come back when you're mature, go to the 82nd, go somewhere. And yeah, become a man. And so, like, I went to the 82nd and was there not long. And we went to Afghanistan. And because I had a secret security clearance, because I had like high GT and a bunch of other crap that didn't work in my favor, I ended up in the S2, which is the intelligence section of that battalion first. And working in that intelligence section, I ended up working HUMAT. So, like, there was a, we had a, like what they call a tactical human team. And so I acted as like a, I mean, really just like a go-between that tactical human team and like the line companies for my battalion. And yeah, so it was just like a lot of meetings with local warlords, tribal leaders, police chiefs, like just basically a bunch of, is this a family show? I should ask this.
No, not at all. You're free. Okay. Free to cuss all you want, buddy.
Just, yeah, good. I mean, I said shit on Braxton's podcast. And I still feel terrible about it, but yeah, just like a bunch of greasy motherfuckers, you know? So like, I didn't like anything about Afghanistan. Like, the people seemed all mercenary. The terrain was awful. I spent 28 days sleeping in moon dirt, without a shower. Like, we had to build our own cop. And then, yeah, I mean, I'd get outside the wire some, but I wasn't really being an infantryman. Like, I was being like kind of a infantry intel weenie hybrid.
True.
And yeah, so it wasn't really a good deployment, and it was only for 6 months. So we were there for like the first elections. But at that time, like, it was really quiet too. I'm also going to point out, like, my service in Afghanistan wasn't really eventful. I mean, There were some ticks, but I wasn't in any of them. I mean, I got that CIB when I was in Afghanistan, but that was because some rockets flew over the FOB and somebody put me in for it. Jeez. Like, it was total bullshit. Yeah. I was pissed off about it, but you know, you can't, like, apparently you can't say no to a CIB. I had to take it. But yeah, that was Afghanistan. So like, I didn't enjoy it. Didn't enjoy the people. Didn't enjoy the terrain. Didn't enjoy the mission. Basically, didn't like any of it. And so we came back, and I think we were back like 9 months, and I was headed back to SWCC at that point. Like, I had done my time since I wasn't NTR'd, and I was told selection was good for life at that point. I was on my way back, but I had Sergeant Stripes by that point. I had a CIB. that I didn't earn, and I knew I didn't earn, and I kind of felt weird about it. And they were offering me, you know, I could pick any company I wanted down on the line, go and be a team leader there. And yeah, like we had somebody that worked with me in S2 came to me and said, our battalion's going to be the first battalion selected by JSOC to do like long duration raids, like 3-day raids and air assaults. And so they were like, you know, do you want some of that? And I did, like, I totally, that was like what I'd signed up for. So we ended up doing that. So like we were part of that mission. We did that for 6 months. It was a pretty rough tour, I guess. Like I had to come back. I got a Red Cross message. So I came back like a month early than we were supposed to. Handled my family business, waited for everybody to get home. Everybody got home. They released us on leave. I think we had 14 days, and on the sixth day they called us back in.
Wow.
Because Big Army was about to do the surge into Iraq. And we were the first battalion, I was told. I don't know if that's true. I mean, don't quote me on that, but we were always told we were the first battalion in on the surge. So, I mean, there were signs at Green Ramp over in Bragg that said like welcome home. Oh, wow. And we were like getting back on birds. So did 11 more months of that in Baghdad, and yeah, then came home.
Wow, that's wild, man. There was a time in my very short boot camp service that I was thinking about going special ops too, because they had the dive motivator in boot camp, and I was like, oh, I could do this, you know, I want to be EOD. And you got to be pretty fucking retarded to want to do EOD, man. That's scary shit. So I'm a little.
I know some EOD dudes that checks out.
Yeah, I'm a little crazy. You know, I was like, oh yeah, that'd be fun. I definitely want to do that job. I went to the dive motivator like twice and then decided it wasn't for me. So, more power to you, man. Swick's badass. Those guys in the Navy, they get to drive all the good shit, all the fun things. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's occasions where I'll think about like what could have been. You know, but like the truth is, you know, I enjoyed my time in Iraq probably more than I enjoyed any of my service. Like I mean, it sounds strange, but I actually had a good time in Iraq. And so, but once I had finished that, like I was an E6, like I was already becoming like a platoon sergeant when we were coming back. And, it just wasn't really doing it for me. Sure. Like I didn't see where it would, and I talked to my buddies who had made it through the Q course, and you know, it got Green Berets, and I asked them how they were liking it, and it was really too mixed. You know, some really enjoyed it, some didn't, you know.
Yeah.
At that point I just like, fuck it, I'm gonna go and make this shit work for me. Went and got my degree.
Nice.
Went to work.
Smart man. I was all fucking bummed out the other day, because I got out, you know, as soon as I could. I basically got out. Military really wasn't for me, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, holy shit, it's 2021, man. Like, I'd be very close to retiring. Very close.
Yeah.
If I had stayed in, I was like, shit, dude. But, you know, I wasn't a big fan of that lifestyle, man. But so we just kind of pulled out of Afghanistan, really fucked up, right? And everybody's talking about it. It's a really big topic, obviously. All these podcasts are talking about it. The news talking about it. You know, the people we left there, this shit and that shit. What are your views on this pullout, man? I mean, is that someone who's been there?
I mean, I think that, I think there's like too much desire to blame like any one thing, you know, like the Democrats want to blame the Trump deal. Republicans want to blame Biden. You know, most of the veterans I know, and includes myself, is like, I want to blame the generals for just lying their way through this shit. Like they really set this whole thing up for failure, and it doesn't matter who was elected. I blame them. I put this whole defeat, if we could even call it that, I don't know what it is, like at the feet of the generals, because they, you know, they were using that war to benefit themselves. And it seems rather obvious just looking at, like, I mean, none of them are going to be blamed for this. None of them are going to suffer any kind of consequences for it. And, you know, politicians are going to just, I mean, man, they're just going to spin events in their own favor, both sides.
Sure.
But yeah, I feel like it's the general's fault. And yeah, it bothers me. I mean, I think that, but I think some of it's not intentional too. I'm afraid that a lot of people believe that it was intentional. I mean, I can see how it happened. Not saying that like we couldn't have stopped it. We absolutely could have made a better withdrawal. We could have made a better setup. I mean, we also could have left in like 2004 when we knew for certain Bin Laden wasn't even in Afghanistan.
Right.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of that shit. So from hindsight, man, I mean, it's easy to say, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, but
yeah,
it's disappointing.
Well, and I was going to ask you, I mean, have you looked over the, have you looked over the Afghanistan papers? Have you ever like read them in depth?
Not enough to be able to like remark on them to say anything that like,
it's fucking wild, it's dude. Like, I mean, the Pentagon, everybody knew like there was no way that we could win the war there. The terrain was too fucked up. I mean, Russia had already been, you know, Russia had already kind of had to concede and leave. And we went in there knowing that there was just no way it was a winnable war. They told the general public that we could, and we were going to go over there and kill the Taliban and this and that and this and that. But they knew from the start that we couldn't. And that's got to fucking burn up like Afghanistan vets to know that shit, man. Like, it's got to.
You know, but like not really, because I bet any Afghanistan vet made the same conclusion. Like, they didn't need any leaked documents or anything to tell them that it was like a failed effort. I mean, I was there like a long time ago.
Right.
And I knew for certain that it wasn't going to work out. And I think that, like, you know, I'm going to always caveat, like, I'm a nobody in this war. Like, it's not that I knew a lot or had special information but. You know, working with those folks and seeing like how hard it was to get them to care about their own country and about their own government. And then just reading like the demographics. I mean, keep in mind, Afghanistan is it's a Western invention, so to speak. Like, it's some lines on a map that were produced in a drawing room in, I think, like Vienna or some shit. Like, nobody in Afghanistan has any state interest in the nation of Afghanistan. Like, there are portions of the world that they control that some of them, you know, collide with multiple states outside of Afghanistan. And no demographic there has a majority. I think that, like, it's the Pashtuns, Tajiks, and Uzbeks, maybe. Maybe I'm missing one. But, like, I think they're all at, like, 30% of the population. And, you know, they play each other. Like, it's two versus one for a little bit, then one will double cross the other and switch sides. And I don't think that there'll ever be a nation of Afghanistan. And it seemed obvious. Like,
see, that's a perspective I've never heard. That's pretty crazy. I didn't even think about that. I knew that there was like different demographics there, but I never really thought about them not having like any stake in a nation of Afghanistan.
I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, you'd get them to, they wanted some money. Like, typically they'd want some money for like this, like there's this like WASTA is what it's called, right? Like, in this WASTA is like their ability to make connections and like be like the big boss. Like, and so like they want some money so that they can distribute. They want some projects, you know, we're going to build a road, we're going to build some schools, but like most of the contracting's handled through them. I mean, it's like dealing with a bunch of small mafias, like very small local mafias. And that's how that tribal system works. And that's what they're used to. And you can try, I mean, they have cell phones, right? Like, they have some Western clothing. Obviously now they have a lot of Western weapons and technology, but they're still like fundamentally very different people. And so there was never, to me, there was no incentive for them to buy into what we had as soon as we turned off the money.
Sure. Well, and you talk about the Western weapons that they have. I made a joke the other day on the show about them having Blackhawks, and I'm like, don't worry, they won't have them long, because yeah. They're like the most down aircraft in the military, and those guys don't know how to fly. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens there.
But, I mean, some of them know how to fly, but yeah, I think I saw the joke today where somebody was like, it's a bunch of spinning parts around an oil leak. You know, and as soon as you turn off the maintenance hours of that thing, it's like, it's going to crash to the ground.
Yeah. I heard that, you know, it's a rumor, but I heard that they were already looking for Americans to like help them with the maintenance on the Blackhawks. And I'm like, it's over. Like, they're not going to have those things very long, man. So that's their Air Force.
Yeah. I mean,
for now.
We say that. It's funny though, because like, I can remember in Afghanistan, like, we'd, you know, we'd, we'd be on like these long convoys out of Bagram, like, because I was in Maidenshaar.
Sure.
And so like we had, you know, these pretty long convoys back and forth, and all the time, like our vehicles would go down, and these were like new car smell, like Humvees, and they would just like side of the road, fucking, you know, every like seized up, overheated, like every problem you can think of. And then like some like jingle truck, like Mercedes, that's like been, I mean, it's leaking every fluid that it has. It's just like chugging right along with, so, I mean, just overloaded on every side. I mean, they can make things work when they want to make it work.
Yeah. Military, you know, mechanics.
I don't, yeah, I don't think they're going to be able to keep a Crash Hawk in the air, cause we could barely do that. But, yeah. But yeah, a lot of that equipment, man, it's going to serve them well.
Oh, clean. I'm sure, man. I mean, they got millions and millions and billions of dollars worth of equipment for sure. And, you were talking a little bit about how people didn't, you know, the people in Afghanistan didn't really have a stake in, the nation of Afghanistan. And I was, you know, everything that I know about Afghanistan, obviously I've been told, or I've read through the news, or I've read from like antiwar.com and stuff like that. But we trained 300,000 troops in Afghanistan, and there's what, 70,000 Taliban members or something like that.
I've heard this.
And so we spent 20 years training 300,000 troops and given all this, equipment and weapons and stuff, and then they all laid it down and took off when the Taliban came running, man. I mean, is the Taliban, you know, I mean, have you had any run-ins with like legit Taliban while you're there?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like that term is like a term that we use
to scare people.
To them, they're just, it may or may not apply. I mean, one of the problems with all of it is like their culture is very alien to us, and you know, what we might call, you know, a Taliban, like they might just say that there's some kind of local Muj, you know. Taliban seems to be like, there is a group called the Taliban, and there are people who call themselves Taliban, but then there's a lot of people that just fucking don't like Americans. Sure. And they're going to shoot at you. And if you were going to call them Taliban because they shot at you and you're in Afghanistan and you're a soldier, but you know, do they believe everything the Taliban does or not? You know, I don't know. You know, you said we trained like 300,000 soldiers. I think we paid 300,000 men. Like, there's a difference between saying that we
trained.
I mean, and maybe in trained. I mean, to what degree? You know, I know that they would all muster for payday, right? Like they would all be there on payday. But for like patrols and training, and I mean, you'd be lucky to have half of them there. Oh. You know, and I don't think that we trained that many. I think we have that many on our payroll. And I think that many, again, would show up for payday. But whether or not they were ever going to fight anyone, you know, or on our side, I don't know about that.
I wonder if that's, like, I wonder if that's a, one of the situations, like the government efficiency situation. So the first time I realized how inefficient our government was when I was in the Navy, mm-hmm. and I was talking to some admin guys, and I was like, hey man, can I get one of those pins? He's like, do you know how much we pay for those pins? And I like found out that the military pays like $4 per BIC pin, right? Like per.
Yeah, well, it's a skill craft, right? Like it's the black. Yeah, it's a skill craft pin. They're a nice pin.
Yeah, but they're like four or five bucks nice. Per pin. And it was like, this is when I first started getting into like how the government spends our money. And I started realizing like every department of the government gets a budget. And if they don't spend their entire budget, their budget won't be that big the following year. And so they have to spend all their budget, and they have all these crazy government contracts where they overpay for all kinds of shit so they can keep their budget where it is. I wonder if it's another situation like that with the Afghan soldiers, you know, we trained 300,000. Well, we paid 300,000, but we didn't, you know what I mean? I wonder if it's kind of that same situation.
So. Yeah. I mean, it is like that. I mean, and I think that this goes back to those generals, right? Like our mission was to make an Afghan army, you know, create an Afghan army, say that they're, you know, they actually are supposed to train them, you know, create an Afghan army, train them to fight the Taliban, like give us enough time to get the fuck out of there. And the general's like, yes, sir. You know, right. If I can pull that off. And they, you know, there's so many layers of people between like that frontline soldier training, like Afghanis, to that general. And every person is going to wash that information a little bit to clean it up. So that by the time it gets to the general's like, fuck yeah, sir, we got 300,000, like, hard charging Afghanis, like, fucking ready to go, ready to take on the Taliban. Like, you know, we can leave Bagram and we can do all this shit. And, like, we're going to be fine. Like, this is hell yeah, sir. And, you know, for the politicians, I mean, fuck, dude, Biden doesn't even know what flavor of ice cream somebody fed him today.
No shit, dude.
And, you know, and you got Trump. I mean, look, I voted for Trump this last time. I didn't vote for him the first time, but, like, I'll even admit it. Like, I'm sure everybody hate me for it. But, you know, but Trump wasn't that fucking smart. I mean, look at the generals he supported. They were taking him away from shit and hiding information from him and talking to the Chinese behind his back. Like, you can't blame these politicians. Like, but the generals, man, yeah, they could have intervened and figured it out. But, I mean, it's just a fucking mess.
Sure. And they actually got a $5 super chat from Daniel 3 Biblical Anarchy. He said, are military leaders more corrupt or inept? So that makes, you know.
You know, yeah. Like, so there's like a famous speech, and this is like, now I'm quoting a socialist, but like Miliukov in like right before the Russian Revolution, he gives a speech about like the war, like the First World War. And he says, like, was it like stupidity or was it treason? Like, and just like this, I mean, were they inept or were they corrupt? What's the fucking difference if the outcome's the same?
Right.
You know, like, I think they should be, like, whatever is the cause, like, you get to see the fruit of that. So blame them nonetheless. I mean, I tend to think that it's not in their interest to find that their mission is failing. Like, it is in their interest to report back that shit's going great, sir. You know, objectives are being met. Fucking they've got to get their OER, you know, built up so that they look good, so they get promoted, so that they get that next level command, so that they get that next star. Because in the end, there's checks waiting on it. I mean, there's a fucking great pension. And then, yeah, I mean, you can go work for the murder cold industrial complex.
I'm not gonna do it. I knew it was coming.
I'm not gonna do it.
No, I get it. But absolutely. Yeah,
you get to work for these places that, I mean, they got deep fucking pockets. Like you said, they're selling $4 pens. I mean, how great a business is that?
Oh yeah.
I would love to be able to sell a 10-cent pen for $4 to the government. I'd fucking do that right now.
Fuck yeah. Why wouldn't you, man? It's funny because I don't know. Have you ever watched the movie War Dogs with Jonah Hill and fucking
I think I have. Yeah.
Where they were picking up those gun contracts, and then they actually like went into Iraq and like ran the guns themselves and shit like that. It's a true story about these two fucking jabronis from Florida that like started this gun dealing business and started doing all kinds of crazy shit. They were going to like Ukraine and buying ammunition there and selling it to the military, and they weren't supposed to be doing that, and fuck, it's a crazy story, but they got into it because they figured out that the government contracts were so crazy they could make millions of dollars, you know what I mean? It was just two kids from Florida that pulled this off. They ended up fucking up and doing all this illegal shit, and then they spent like, I think they spent like several years in federal prison and got out. But yeah, man, it's crazy. You could really make a lot of money off the government, but you know,
you can. And I heard this crazy thing, and maybe I just now thought about it. I haven't thought about this in years, but I remember them telling us this, that like, so we'd have like to go plate is what we'd call it. So like there were occasions where our unit was on like larger FOBs that had like these bigger mess halls. And what people would do is they would take, like they would lay out the plates, but what we didn't know is the person who puts out the plates is like counting them, because like Halliburton or whoever it was that like runs this DFAC, is paid by the plate.
Oh,
but what dudes were doing, because like they're sand and you want to keep the food hot for when you bring, so they would like load up a plate with food, but then they'd get another plate and they'd put it on top. And what that was causing is like they could charge twice. So like at a certain point they were like encouraging it. Like rather than get like a receptacle that would close for to-go plates, they would prefer you use two plates because then they got paid twice for the same meal.
Oh my God.
I don't know if that's true.
It makes sense.
I always like that story.
It makes sense for sure, man. These government contracts are just insane, man. Absolutely insane. I went and worked for the murder cult for a while too. I was a maintenance man for Western Federal Lands, and I still felt kind of icky. You know what I mean? I was like, oh God, I'm just a contracted maintenance man, but geez. But you got to make your money somehow. You know, Mike Ravel sent a $2 super chat. Thanks, brother. He said, what's your take on Miley and the China stuff? I don't know what you mean.
He's talking about, like, so yeah, Miley supposedly, and I haven't followed it, dude. I've been fucking working, but like Miley supposedly made secret contact with the Chinese and told them that like he would fucking Paul Revere for him if Trump decided to just fucking launch nukes at China. I don't know what the fuck the whole point was. I don't buy, first off, I don't fucking believe a thing that Woodward guy said. And that's the dude who's like leaked this shit.
Right.
Like he's been notorious about, like, I think he had like one time, like, was he a part of the Woodward and Bernstein, like whole like Watergate thing? I feel it was him.
Yeah, it might be.
Woodward. I don't know. Anyway, I think it was him. He's had like a long history though, just like making shit up, putting it in a book. Everybody goes and buys his book, find out like 5 years, 10 years later he's full shit. So I don't really trust the source, but then again, I mean, I wouldn't put it past like Miley either. I mean, I think he's kind of a piece of shit too. So
yeah, I haven't even heard of this. I haven't even heard the story yet. I'm gonna have to check it out, dude. Yeah. I thought I was pretty up on all the current events, man. I try really bad.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm beating you, it's bad because I've had my head down. Bro,
I got 7 kids.
You get your shit together. You get a podcast to run.
I got 7 fucking kids, dude. What am I supposed to do? I got 7 kids. I work 12-hour shifts and I do the show 5 nights a week. I try.
You're doing to yourself.
Like, they're not all.
What
mine.
Do you do this for? Like, this better get you a lot of $4 pins.
You know, dude, that's what people are like, oh, he's trying to make money off that show. I'm like, you're fucking right. I'm trying to make money off that show. I got 7 kids to feed. What are you talking about, dude? Two of them, we adopted 2 of them, and 2 of them are my fiancés from before us. And then 1 of them is my 16-year-old. And then we have one together. And then my daughter had one back in March too. So 1 of them is actually my grandkid. So we got 7 kids.
Right
dude.
On.
It's wild, man. And now my fiance is doing a little like YouTube channel now, doing like crunchy organic mom shit, you know? So
it's cool.
Yeah. That has the capacity to be way bigger than my channel.
I mean, I'm proud of you for 7 kids, and especially for the adoption.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, like, best legacy in your life is children.
Yeah,
like the rest of this, like, you don't want to be famous for something as much as you want your kids to just turn out good.
Yeah, I just want them to be happy, man. And we moved them into, you know, because a couple of them got to be in public school because we just have so many of them, and so we, you know, we moved into a really good school district, and they're doing really well and stuff. And they it was pretty hard, so it's good, man. But let's talk Shane Hazel, dude. Okay. Listen,
yeah.
I'm gonna preface all this by saying that Shane has been a good friend of mine for many years.
I know. Okay. I know. I picked up on it.
He's been my good friend for many years. I've met him. I've hung out with him in person. Nice guy. He can definitely be a little overbearing, but I didn't realize what was going on until I saw this thread that he put down of like all these messages back and forth and stuff like that. Yeah. And, you know, it's always your first inclination to like protect your friend, right? I got to defend my friends, right? So I started getting into it, and then, you know, I had him on the show. He gave his side of things. You know, I looked at some of the things. I agreed with some of the things he said. I didn't really agree with some of the things he said, but what was your take? Hi, kids. Do you
like violence? Are you sick to death of pussyfooting around the truth while being constantly fed lies by news and big tech tyrants? If so, then come join me, Dan Smotz, on The System Is Down, where we get weird, have fun, and dig into all the dangerous taboo topics like conspiracies, politics, religion, culture, current events, and everything your family just prays you don't bring up around the Thanksgiving dinner table. And I know that reality is scary to some people, so if you're easily offended, just ignore this and go back to making cat memes or whatever. But if you're ready to change the world for the better, come join me on The System Is Down at tsidpod.com or wherever you get podcasts. That's tsidpod.com, because the system is down and truth is taking over.
Excuse me. What was your take on everything that was going on there, man? What happened? How'd you feel?
So like, I know he's your friend, and that's really cool, I guess. Like he doesn't actually seem like a bad guy. Like, you know, but I didn't have a lot of good interactions with him. Let's put it that way. Like, how he says he doesn't remember how we got started, which is odd for me because it's all like still public. Like you can go and find it. But like, basically there is like some kid who was kind of getting dragged. So like I'm in a different part of Twitter than most people. Like I live in this like slimy pit of just like anime avatar gun loving, and then like super crazy vet bros, of which I think I am one. And it's just, I mean, it's just it's a pit. Like, I mean, and it's just like, it's like a mosh pit even. Like, there's just like some really rough characters in there. And they had found this kid who was like, you know, for like so many dopamine hits, I'm going to burn my uniform. Like, so many RTs and likes, like, I'm going to torch my murder cult uniform, which I was unfamiliar with this term, I guess, that your friend had coined.
Yeah, he uses it a lot. And I don't know if he coined it, but yeah, he uses it a lot for sure.
Well, he claims it, but either way, I didn't realize that they were like associated, but I see what's going on with this kid, and he's getting dragged pretty heavily for all this shit. Mostly for the fact that like he has like his blouse there, and he has like no combat patch or whatever, right?
Sure.
And so like everyone's like, fucking murder cult, like what are you talking about? Like, who the fuck do you murder? You know? And they're dragging him, but like below it, or I think I had commented on it about the, like, and I just said that like it was sad. Like, I felt like it was sad. Like, cause I think that this whole murder cult thing, like it kind of like, and this is libertarians as a whole. Like, I know that I'm on a libertarian show, but I feel like you guys, and not you.
Wait a minute.
Libertarians.
This isn't a libertarian show anymore. I changed it.
Oh, it isn't?
I rebranded, dude. No, it was going to be a libertarian show, and I decided it's going to be politics, culture, music, and comedy, because cool. I didn't want to pigeonhole myself with the Lulberts.
Don't, man. That was a good marketing move. But yeah, so libertarians, like, they do this thing where they're like, we hate the state. And then you have to like hate everything in the state, including like veterans in the military and shit. And it tends to go downhill. Anyway, I had said that it was sad, and it was because he was in the 10th Mountain. Like, he had on his other patch, like a 10th Mountain patch, like his unit patch. And I got a lot of respect. I mean, their legs, you know, like, I was in the airborne, so I tend to say that anybody that's not airborne isn't shit, but it's not true. Like, the 10th Mountain is a pretty squared away unit from my experience and who I know. And, yeah, I just said like, oh, this is sad. And somebody else commented. But, and I think somebody had said that it was like a dishonor. And then like Shane came swooping in with like his murder cult shit. And I've got the tweet here, but like, I don't think I have to read it, but more or less he's just like, you know, is this, you think that's a dishonor? Like, the bankers and the corporations, which is ironic for an entirely different reason that I don't feel like exposing, but in the government, like, that's the true dishonor. And, you know, we were sent off to murder cult indoctrination camps. And I mean, it kind of goes like off the fucking deep end of the Lulbert nonsense, right? Like, to where like you gotta call public schools indoctrination camps. And I get the metaphor, you know, like, I'm not saying it's not a little clever. And I like some of this like bombast and hyperbole. Like, I think that it can like cause people to think about things differently. But when it's like, when it's like really believed, that's when it like looks fucking stupid. And so all I said is I retweeted Shane and I just said that Lulberts are back on the goop. That was literally all I said. And yeah, like the next thing I know, he's like, you want to come on my show? Do you want to come on my show? Do you want to be on my show? And I'd even like responded to the first ones. Like, I mean, you saw how easy it is to get me on one of these things. Sure. I don't know why y'all want me, but like, fuck, I'll come talk for free. So yeah, I was like, yeah, I'll be on it. And then he's like, still, you want to come on the show? Do you want to come on the show? And I think I finally agreed, like, in the public 4 times. And that's when he shows up in my DMs. And yeah, the DMs go like pretty well. I think that he was just like, you know, date and time, are you free? Like, let's do this. Like, very like aggressive with wanting to go. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. Like, I agreed to his date, agreed to his time. Like, we were good. And I'm not sure, like, I buy his, like, the way he talks about my name and like why it was important. Like, and I've looked into this thing about him, you know, I mean, Shane's not a very fucking smart guy. Like, no offense, your friend, but like, he has a tendency to get fooled easy. I don't know what causes it, but like, he got fooled by somebody in the past. So now he's going to get, it's going to make sure he doesn't get fooled. So he started asking about, like, you got to verify your name.
Sure.
You know, and I was like, what do you need my name for? Well, I got to make sure that you're not lying. I'm like, I'll give you a DD 214. Like, I've already posted it publicly. I sent him a link to it. I was like, you know, there are other accounts that are absolutely verified that know me, my name, the rest of it, they'll back me up. But he kept pressing for a name. And I'll tell you, man, like I used to do social engineering. Like I used to do this for a living. Like when I got out of the military, sure. Like I work in information security, which, you know, I'm not an anonymous account. I've never in my life thought that I was anonymous. I think that anybody that wants to find me, I have 149,000 tweets that I haven't deleted. Like if you can't figure out who I am, like you're not fucking trying, right. But like I do try to maintain like some pseudo anonymity, and I'm just not going to fucking make it easy for somebody. There's a lot of crazy ass people that I talk to and make fun of on Twitter. And so he just kept pressing me for this name though. And it, you know, in the business, like we would call that like kissing the dog. Like I know why he wanted it. And it was not to verify for a show or any other shit. Like I knew what he was going to do with it. And I even predicted it. Like I'm in a part of a couple of group chats and I was like, dude, this guy just wants my name. Cause he's going to drop it. And they're like, oh, well, don't do it. Just back out of the show. And I was like, no, fuck this guy. So like I, you know, he on your show, he claims that it was a setup. It was a total setup because I knew exactly what he was going to do. And so I pressed him until I knew that like it was going to be the end. Like he was just about to pull the invite. And he's like, you know, this is it. Last chance. Give me a name. And anybody that wants to see this stuff, like he published our DMs. I don't know why he thought that was some sort of ohm, but you can see the whole conversation and how it went. And so I gave him a fake name, fully knowing that it was a fake name, but also fully knowing that his intent was not to have me on the show. It was to drop my name. And I think it was 7 minutes after I gave him my name, in a reply to somebody else, he starts using my first name, my fake first name. Oh. So, and I never got on his show. I don't know if you missed that part.
But no, like, I did.
Saying that, like, well, go ahead.
No, I did. I did notice that, which I thought was very strange because I was like, well, even if it was a fake name, you still have him on. And so, like, I want to say, like, I know that he did get burned by anarchist kids, and so did other podcasters in the movement too. It wasn't just him. That dude, like, Stolen Valor, all the shit, like burned a bunch of people. That came out that he was lying about all kinds of crazy shit. So when I was watching this whole take thing, you know, in my head, I was like, oh yeah, he got burnt. He doesn't want to get burnt again. I understand, like, you know, blah 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 blah. But you seem pretty insistent on the fact that you know, you were a combat vet and you'd show him a DD-214. So I didn't get the anger and all that stuff and the need for it. But and I did, like, right away, you know, I was like, well, you know, I read it and it seems like to me, you know, Shane was, you know, had told him he was going to put his name on the show and stuff like that. So he knew that the name was going to be on there, but I didn't think of it. I didn't read all the DMs or something. Cause I didn't realize it was that deep. Like it had gone that far and that you called it right away either.
Yeah. I mean, I knew what he was going to do. And again, like, I mean, if I'd have ended up on a show, I'd have come, dude, this is not my real name, you know? And if the show, which I actually think the show would have went well,
right.
Like, I really think that the show would have went well. Like, I have no animosity towards the guy other than, I mean, the shit he's talked. I actually think that, like, his job is super fucking cool also. Like, I want him to keep his job. I gave him that name knowing what he's going to do. And up until, like, the day, I didn't come clean about it not being my real name until our date passed, you know, where I didn't get to be on a show. And that's when I was like, okay, well, I gotta tell everybody it's not, you know, Carson Wells is not my real name.
Right.
And the part of why I did it is just, like I said, I knew what he was going to do and I knew it wasn't going to get me on a show anyway, because, like, ultimately I think that we knew enough people where they were like, you don't want to fucking go on a show with Grandpa. Like, it's not going to go well for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that he just wanted a way out. I don't know.
That's wild. I remember thinking, like, why didn't they have that show? You know what I mean? Cause you were still going to go on there, and I don't know why.
I'm still going there. I'm still going on a show.
Shane, I know you're watching this, buddy. Have him on, man. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. And have him on, dude. Oh, I'm sure he'll check this out. I'm sure he will. So do you think you'll ever get that talk with Shane? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I'd welcome it. I still don't even know what we talk about. I made jokes about it afterwards. Like, I don't know what we talk about. I think now we have plenty to talk about.
Sure.
Like, I have plenty of questions for Shane.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, like, talk.
Yeah, he is a very interesting. I mean, because of the way things went, you know. And again, like, having my name, I always thought was weird. I'm going to point that out. Like, let's just say he had my name and that was my real name. Like, was he going to like FOIA my real name and like find me and like get, he didn't allow himself enough time. Like the FOIA request wouldn't have gone through in order for him to get like my bona fides. Like, I'm not sure if my name would have been enough. I mean, that's what, like, I worked through this as he kept asking because he was very insistent about it. And it seemed very like tertiary information to what we were going to discuss. Like, it didn't seem like it was important to what we were there for. So yeah, I don't know what his plan was or why a name was going to get me. I mean, whatever dude burned y'all before, if you'd have known his name up front, how would you have known that he was a liar or not? I mean, I can obviously talk shop. I have, like I said, DD214s. I have fucking people who, you know, can vouch for me that know me. Yeah, none of that stuff was requested though. Like, none of that stuff could have been instead. It was just like that we wanted my name. And then, you know, minutes after having my name, he's telling Braxton, you know, Carson's going to be on my show. Do you want to be on it? There's no reason for that.
Sure.
And then, but the back end of this is just like, you know, people fucking lost their shit on him for that. And I was very careful about, if you look at the replies that I had associated with that, you'll see that like at no point was I like, you know, trying to make it into a bigger thing.
Right.
But I was pointing out that it was like obvious what he was trying to do.
Sure.
And it was shortly after that that, yeah, he just went on like a blocking spree, and then he had his like weird meltdown show where he tried to talk about anonymity, and then by that point, people had started digging into his shit, which, you know, wow, that dude's got some skeletons for like all the shit he talks about murder cult. So yeah, man, I think he, I don't know. Shane Hazel just steps on his dick with golf shoes like over and over and over throughout that entire thing. And I never got my show, man. It was all for nothing. I don't know.
Shane, if you're watching, man, you should still have Grandpa on. I think it'd be a good show. I think you guys need this show. I think you need it for catharsis.
I do.
For catharsis.
I do, man. Don't threaten me with a good time. You know, like I'd come on Shane Hazel's show. I'd love to.
Well, I like to run a fair show around these parts, so I was I was happy to have you on, and you know, there's only been one person on the show ever that I brought on as a total joke and then kicked him right off, and that was last Friday. So I had the founder of Fakertarians, who used to be a good friend of mine, and then decided to start telling everybody I was a Nazi sympathizer in public, and called the LNC, wrote an email to the LNC and tried to have me removed. He's got a group where people attack my family and shit. So I was like, why don't you come on my show, buddy? Come on my show. It'll be fun. And he was on for about 5 minutes before I threw him off, and then had Tower Power Hour guys come on. It was pretty fun. Yeah, you know, people are mad at me.
I mean, dude, the libertarians, you guys are fucking flush with drama.
Dude, it's
like,
ridiculous.
I swear to God, y'all hate each other. You're like the fucking Taliban, man. You guys hate each other more than you hate everybody else. Like, the only time y'all could ever unite is when you're like burning down somebody else's house. Like,
nobody hates libertarians more than libertarians, dude.
Yeah, it's like a true believer society, and everybody's like trying to run for like the fucking president.
Yeah, I feel like at this point I'm starting to be more post-libertarian than I am libertarian, mm-hmm. for sure. And it's like I find myself agreeing more and more with the post-libertarians because I just, it's like these people, they spend their days like in the party, especially in the party. They spend their days like going after other party members. It's like all they ever fucking do.
Right.
That's it. I mean, we just had the chair in Massachusetts kick one of the Mises Caucus people out of the fucking party. Like, literally took their membership. Like
excommunicado.
Yeah, because they were being mean on Twitter, dude. Like, shut the fuck up. You can't, you know what I mean? Like, you can't do that shit. What's wrong with you? Are you fucking idiots? In the most tyranny this country has faced in my lifetime, and we're worried about mean fucking tweets kicking people out of a party that's supposed to be fighting back against the state. You know what I mean? Just, it never ceases to amaze me. The depth these people will swing to, man. David Eves, thanks for the $10 super chat. He said Kifaru is better than Eberl stock. This is gun shit. It's gun shit.
Eberl stock.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a whole nother society of like the hunters who eat sushi.
Oh, sure.
If you look at all those companies and how they market, like that's how they do it. They're like the dudes who won't wear camouflage to, you know, the fucking supermarket, but like they will spend $400 on a bag. I'm team of Burlestock. I like their shit. I'm basically like sponsored by them, although I'm the one paying all the money.
Of course.
Like, if they are listening to this, though, like, I will totally rep your gear to send me free shit.
Yeah, dude. Fuck yeah. If you can believe this, I've never actually been hunting in my life. And I just moved.
Really?
Yeah, I moved. I'm a big fisherman. I've been fishing my whole life. My grandfather and my uncles and everybody. My uncle runs a charter boat out of the San Francisco Bay. And so I grew up fishing. It's like one of my things. Never been hunting. And now I live in Iowa. I moved to Iowa last year. It's like, the fucking deer here are a nuisance. Like, legitimately, they're everywhere. Yeah. You drive down the highway and you'll see every mile there's a dead deer on the side of the road from getting hit by a truck. So I'm gonna learn how to hunt, but I want to go bow hunting. Like, that's the thing that I want to do, I think.
Bow hunting? Yeah. You're gonna go into bow hunting?
Yeah, it's okay. A big thing here. They have like they have like year round hunting here, but there's like three seasons, you know what I mean? And they're like, it's like bow hunting, muzzle loader,
right, and then rifles.
Yeah, and then rifles. And so, like, I don't know. I just feel like bow hunting would be fun, man. It feels like it's a better competitive edge for the deer. You know what I mean?
Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, I cheat like hell. I've bow hunted, but I mean, I don't know. I've always felt like it was very barbaric to shove a stick through an animal. Like, after the invention of smokeless powder and modern ballistics, I'm like, why did you do that? But I mean, it does give them an advantage. It also, you know, you might maim one of these poor fucking things with your sticks.
And not get them.
Yeah, but I mean, it's cool. I mean, bow hunting is a legit thing. I definitely admire anybody who can pull it off.
I want to try
that. Yeah, you should hunt.
Yeah, I want to. I really want to, especially because I got 7 kids, dude. You know what I mean? Like,
right, yeah.
Fuck, dude, if I could get one nice size buck a year, I mean, that's going to save me a ton of money on meat, man.
Like, yeah, especially with meat prices right now. That shit's skyrocketing.
It's insane, dude. But we got the zombie deer shit here, too. So you got to be careful with all that. They got the,
oh, yeah.
It's like a big,
the foot and mouth or whatever shit.
Yeah, I don't know what it, I don't know. They call them zombie deers. They look all fucked up. Their hair's all falling out in certain places and shit. Can't eat them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Can't eat them.
So, you know, we talked a little bit about, you've probably called yourself a libertarian sometimes over the past years, and also Lulberts are dummies and retards. But where do you stand, like, on the military stuff these days, man? I mean, we're, you know, you're out. What's your view of wars and all that stuff these days?
I tell anybody that's putting their kids in, or any kids, like, not to join. Like, sure. I don't like that I tell them that, because the military was a good influence on me. Like, it allowed me to, you know, purge a lot of things that I needed to get out, got me away from where I lived, gave me an opportunity to hang some parchment behind me, get a better life. And I wouldn't trade any of the experiences I had, especially at war. I really, like I said before, like, it's probably fucked up, but I really enjoyed it. And, yeah, I mean, where I land now is, you know, people come to me and they say, like, my son's wanting to join. Like, what should they do? And I'm like, just talk them out of that shit. Like, they should go do something else. But if they're persistent in it, you know, I tend to push them into, like, something that they learn a trade.
Sure.
You know, I know a lot of, like, you know, I was in the infantry. A lot of people hate, like, that I say this shit because, you know, they want to maintain. I'm like, oh, the infantry taught me everything I know, and it was the best. And it is. It's great school, especially on leadership. I use a lot of things I learned as an infantryman every day in my current job, which is completely different than what I used to do. But not everybody makes it, like, takes those lessons that well for, like, the baggage that they get to. So, yeah, I usually say join a trade. Like, find some, you know, work on computers or aircraft or fucking generator mechanic, or just learn something that's useful.
True.
And get out and take the GI Bill and put it to work for you. So yeah, that's, like, kind of where I land on, like, people. And then the rest of it, like, God, my foreign policy shit is gone. I went from being like this, like, you know, I read, like, those Chalmers books, like every good libertarian, about blowback and, you know, we have an empire and how that's a terrible thing. And, you know, I've come to believe now that it's not, like, that it's not a terrible thing. Like, America needs to chill the fuck out in a lot of ways. But having an empire, maybe not, you know. And the maintenance of an empire requires, you know, maintenance. Sometimes you got to go mow the terrorist grass, you know, and you don't fucking like it and it's not good. And wish we didn't make terrorists, but we do. And Yeah, man, I don't know. My foreign policy is all fucked up now. I feel like I don't even like defending it, because like it makes it seem that I'm pro war, and I'm not pro war. You know, like war is to me like the, it should be the last recourse, and it should absolutely just like, I want us to get back in the practice of like a punitive expeditions. Like, you know, if we want to go fuck up Afghanistan again to go get the next 9/11 guy, whoever that would be, and, you know, fucking kill all the people on the way to him, kill him, and then walk away, I'd like that war. I'd be fine with that one. I think I'd support that one. But if we're going to go and try to get everybody in Kabul to wear blue jeans and right. believe in Jesus or some shit, like, I don't see what the fucking point of that is. I mean, my foreign policy is weird. I mean, I tend to favor things that, like, libertarians wouldn't. Like, I do believe that we need to have, like, like a CIA, and sure. we need to have like these special ops units that, you know, jump out of fucking planes in the middle of the night and go murder people for whatever corporation. I mean, even because, yeah, I mean, this empire is pretty legit, dude. I got like unlimited hot water in my shower. Like, I mean, I've got a weight problem, you know, like my kid's got more toy. He's got a fucking playroom with toys in it. I mean, this is a nice lifestyle, and somebody has to pay for this shit. You know, like, because ultimately
I'm a little salty because my kid's playroom is actually my studio too. So,
yeah, so like you're tripping over toys all the way. Dude, to this yeah, podcast.
Like right there, if I walk that way, it's like another part of the basement. And like, as soon as I come down the stairs, if the lights are off on my way to the studio, I trip over like dinosaurs and Legos and all kinds of shit right. every night, dude.
Yeah, but I mean, it's nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's nice. And all the problems that America has are decadence problems. I mean, they're. None of our problems actually exist through anything but abundance.
True.
Like everywhere else in the world is, I mean, they're suffering for lack of something. You know, we're suffering because we got too much of everything. And that is a problem that's terrible, but not the worst one to have. You know,
yeah.
If you don't know where your next meal is or how you're going to find a job, or, you know, your economy's never going to be able to take off because whatever. You know, they don't have like the manufacturing or the resources or the, you know, I don't know, man. Everybody wants to trade dollars right now. I'm kind of cool with that. It allows us to have a $26 trillion fucking debt right now, which still blows my mind and nobody can explain.
Insane.
But, I mean, we're the world reserve currency. It's fucking benefit, you know?
I'm still hung up on trying to get Afghanis to wear blue jeans, dude. I couldn't get past that part. Do you think that we will ever be able to get the Afghanis to wear blue jeans in Kabul?
I think eventually, like, I mean, look at what liberalism like slowly seeps itself into everything.
It's fucking insane.
I mean, and not all of it sucks. I mean, I'm going to even say not all of it sucks. A lot of it sucks, but not all of it sucks. And yeah, I mean, eventually, like, the Taliban's not going to be able to keep a lid on that shit.
Right.
You know, like, it's a reactionary force.
Well, and the new generations, I mean, the younger kids over there are probably already secretly like, oh, we want to be like this, we want to be like that. You know, they some people in Afghanistan have the fucking internet, you know?
So, right. They totally have the internet and television, you know? So that's how we're going to beat them.
Sure.
I mean, in the end, like, you know, damn sure wasn't shooting them.
That didn't
seem to work at all.
Who did I just have on the show recently? I had somebody else who was in Afghanistan recently. And they were telling me that they were, I can't remember where, like somewhere in the mountains, and talking to locals there, and they had no idea what was going on. They didn't know why the American military was there. They didn't know about 9/11. They didn't know about any of that shit. And I thought that was interesting to know that there's like villagers there that are completely cut off from the rest of the world and have no fucking idea what's going on and don't care. Like, they literally don't care.
Lucky. Yeah. Lucky them, too. I mean, in a lot of ways, right? Like, I mean... Yeah, you die of fucking tetanus, but you don't have to listen to the outrage du jour every day
right. And
fucking comment about it. Like, it's a weird place. But yeah, eventually, I mean, they'll get 5G there. That guy will be fucked up. He'll know everything that's happening all day like the rest of us.
Yeah, he won't be able to get off his phone. That's how it works eventually. Right. Eventually, we always get there. I had something really good to say. Fuck, I'm fucking up here. We fucked it up in Iran, though. I'll tell you this. So you're talking about the blue jeans and believing in God and stuff. We actually, Iran, I think it was the 50s when they elected the first democratically elected prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh. And they were like on their way to being like a Western country. I mean, they were, you know, the women were wearing nice, like, summer dresses, sundresses, and they had like nice Chevys and shit. They would go out and they had dance clubs and stuff. And then, we went in there and we were like, oh, well, we can't have this. So we went in there and fucking took out their,
none of the dickheads like wanted to keep their own oil. Like,
yeah, that's what it was. Bastards. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah, that's really what it was. Cause it was us in Britain and they were like, wait a minute, you're not going to give us your oil anymore. Okay. Well, we're going to come change that, I guess, you know?
Well, he was going to nationalize it because he was going to take the dividends and the money and the profits from that only industry that they've got going for him. And he was going to give it to his people or, you know, probably keep a lot of it.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he's going to do that. So we threw his ass out and put in some brutal asshole.
Yeah. Well, we gave it back to the what the fuck is the name?
Shah.
Yeah, the Shah. That's what it was. Yep. That's right. I forgot it was the Shah then. It wasn't the Ayatollah. I think it was the Shah.
No, well, yeah, the Ayatollah was, he was a exile, but he led, like, he was a cultural leader and icon, and he led, like, that student uprising, and you know, they lost their shit. And then yeah, they overthrew the Shah because the Shah was an asshole, but he's our asshole.
Right.
I mean, this is all part of, like, it's like what I was saying earlier. It's part of that maintenance of the empire, and I don't like it either. It's really ugly. I don't want to be the guy that defends it, because especially when it goes bad. But damn, you know, cheap oil is fucking nice. And the idea that we get to sit on like literal oceans of oil in America and we're not tapping it, and the rest of the world's gotta suck themselves dry to sell it to us cheap. I mean, say whatever the fuck you want, but cheap energy is nice. Every nice thing we got going on, all this plastic shit we're surrounded by, all those toys you tripped over on the way to this podcast, you can thank all the stolen oil from around the world. I mean, it sucks.
Fossil fuels.
I get it.
Dude,
yeah,
surely. It's the left. The left used to, remember when they used to be anti-war and now they're just anti fossil fuels and Republicans? That's all it is.
Man, they just... Right.
Well, Grandpa, I appreciate you coming on, man. We're definitely getting close to the end of this public stream. Can you tell people where they can follow you, support you, listen to you, all that great stuff, whatever they can do?
Yeah, I don't make myself easy to follow, obviously, because I got this shitty handle.
Dude, I had to like literally watch, like look at each letter and like type it in. I'm like,
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah. I've thought about changing it a couple times, but then I'm like, no, I kind of like having this like underground appeal. Like, I don't want to be easily found here. But yeah, I mean, it's the votary, but you have to replace every vowel with a numeral.
Right.
Because I'm an asshole. So that's like TH3V0T4RY or motherfucking grandpa. Yeah. Grumpa on Twitter.
It's funny. And then, military guys, we're the only ones that say zero anymore, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody else always
people
like,
say
oh. Yeah. Everyone says oh. It's like zero, motherfucker.
If I said oh. Yeah. But if I said oh, like then I definitely would send them to some. I mean, there's probably some asshole that's the votary with an O. So like, I don't want to send them to that asshole's page. Like, come find this asshole's page.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then I've got the Digital Drop Zone, which is a neglected blog that I maintain, and it's got like some forums and shit. But
oh shit, I didn't even know
for
about
the most
that.
Part,
man.
I'm laying low.
I'll have to check that out.
I don't do a good job repping my shit. But yeah, if anybody's interested. We have an invite, like a members invite only thing. So like we've had a lot of, part of why I didn't give Dickhead my real name is I do have some people that are interested in doxing me. They're just stupid and haven't pulled it off yet.
Yeah. I took the power from all the doxers away when I just went fucking completely public with everything that I do. I troll on Maine, man. You know what I mean? Like I don't give
one of these days they'll get me and then I'll just change all my shit to my real name. I don't care. I haven't said anything that crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Well, I have a boss at work, and anytime somebody's like, "Hey, I'm gonna call, find out where you work, and I'm gonna talk to your boss," and blah 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 blah, and I go and show him the message, and he's always like, "What a bunch of retards," you know? Like that's my boss, so like I'm not worried about it. And
I'm already the crazy right wing nut job at my company, so I don't think they'd be fucking shocked by any of the.
My boss is way more nut jobby than me, and I'm nut jobby, dude. So it's really cool. I actually really appreciate that he's more nut jobby than me. But I was gonna tell you too, because I was asking you before we did the show about Loot Crew, but I was mixing up. What I was doing was I was mixing up Loot Crew and Goon Squad, because you're like part of the Goon
That's why. I am an affiliate. I am not. I don't know if there's a direct membership. I've gotten real. I danced around with a couple of memes in the past that have like come around to bite me because. Like they're bug lights or whatever, or the opposite of, I guess, what a bug light is. Like they just attract weirdos, and then these weirdos end up putting stickers in fucking Capitol buildings and then I get somehow associated with crazy shit. So like, I've occasionally said that, like, hey, goons and goon Twitter. And but that was like in the infancy of that meme.
Sure.
You know, so like, I don't know if I claim them. I don't know if they claim me. But yeah, I'm a part of, somewhat a part of, or tangentially affiliated with people who call themselves goon Twitter.
Nice.
Which, again, are just fucking weirdo anime avatar AR15.com fighters, you know, yeah. A couple of veterans who are just assholes to everybody and weirdos. But yeah.
Yeah. Goon Twitter's fun. I've stepped into some goon Twitter threads before, and I'm like, holy shit, this is awesome.
It's where everybody from like helicopter Twitter and Gold Core and like all these things have a terrible name. It's like where they all got dumped off and it's just a mosh pit where everyone's a dick to everybody and every gun you like is stupid and you're fat. And yeah, it's awful.
I know, it's but funny. It's fun. I sometimes talk about my love for Kimbers and I always, those people always show up. You fucking fod, blah, blah, blah. I was like, man, I used to carry a pro carry too. It was fun. It was a nice gun to carry. I liked it. But
you gotta have like, yeah, you gotta have like the basic fucking, you gotta have the same gun as everybody else. You gotta have a SIG or something.
Yeah, I upgraded to Glock. I carry Glocks now. I had a Glock 21 for a long time that I carried. But I like 45s too. That's another thing somebody always gives me shit for. It's like anytime I say anything about guns online, it like immediately five people show up to tell me how much of a FUD and idiot I am.
Everybody hates your shit. Yeah, like, that's always gonna be like, you just gotta embrace it. Like I troll them, I shoot 40 Smith and Wesson. That drives everybody fucking crazy. Like, because like that is like the most hated thing you could have possibly picked, and I just like I embrace it all the time.
Yeah,
people
are like, we were in the military. You were in the military. I was like, you realize we qualled with fucking 9mm and shotguns. Like that's what I was in the Navy, dude. Like that's you know what I mean. That's right. It. That's all we did. We had like a Beretta 9 and a 20-gauge shotgun. That's all we got to shoot in boot camp. That's it. That's literally it, man. So, you know, people, I'm not like a gun expert at all. I am thinking about buying a 3D printer because, you know, fuck the world.
This shit's cool.
Yeah.
Hush is putting on a clinic all the time about how awesome that shit is. I think it's legit.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I love it, dude. And just how much you can print now is just insane. I saw a guy online the other day is printing fucking caseless ammo.
Yeah, I saw that too, where he's using black powder.
I was like, holy shit, dude. That's a game changer. I mean, if they perfect that, that's a game changer. You can't, you know.
No, the rifling of barrels. I talked to Hush on his podcast about it. Like, they rifle the barrels. It blows my mind.
It's insane.
That, like, from home, they can, they use some kind of weird, crazy electrolysis shit. I don't understand. I didn't go to that science class, but
yeah, and if, cool. And if you ever need to throw away your gun, you can just melt that motherfucker.
Yeah, ATF's coming banging on your door, throw that bitch in a microwave. Yeah. Like, what fucking gun,
what
dude?
Gun? What are you talking about, dude? Yeah, fuck out of here. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate you coming on. If you could give me like 2 minutes, I'll close this out. We'll get the members only stream started. Awesome. Thanks.
Do your thing, brother.
All right, guys, another awesome episode of Break the Cycle. Grandpa's super cool. Go follow him. Check him out. Hang out on that side of Twitter for a while. It's a lot of fun. And, of course, check out our sponsors, toplobster.com, the man, the myth, the legend, my good friend and partner on Break the Cycle, where you can get all kinds of great hand-drawn graphic design stuff. If you guys check out my thumbnails, he hand-draws every single one of those from scratch digitally, and he does the same for all of his shirts and hats and backpacks and leggings and socks and all that great stuff that he does there. And you can get 10% off by using BTC at checkout, or you can join the Patreon, subscribe, star, or become a member of the YouTube channel under any of my videos here. For like $6 a month, you get into the private Discord server. You can get all of his new gear 2 weeks before it goes to the general public at a 30% discount. And man, I'm telling you, he puts something out. It seems like every other week the guy's putting something out. It's good stuff. It's all really good. And of course, executive producer of the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They are doing a wonderful job that the government has historically sucked at, much cheaper and much more efficiently. If you own a business, check them out. See what they can do. I'm telling you, you're not going to be disappointed. Guys, coming up on the show tomorrow, Ashton Birdie's going to be around. She's a big name on YouTube. She's hilarious. If you haven't checked out her YouTube, she's really, really funny. I think she's taken some philosophical turns over the last few months or years, and has a definitely a different outlook than she used to have. So check her out. She's funny. And of course, on Friday, my good friend Fritz from the Fritz Fritz Cass will be here. I was on his show a couple months ago, and we had a really good time. So it should be a good conversation. I love the guy to death, man. He's really fun. I'll see you tomorrow for the show with Ashton. If you guys want to come and watch the members-only stream with Grandpa right after this, just sign up on the YouTube right there. All the after-hour streams will automatically generate on your thread. There's like 50 after-hour streams or more up there. So I'll see you tomorrow for the show with Ashton Birdie. But until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
Due to legal reasons, I just have to explain. The lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and the frame, but I just meant it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Wood chipper is my friend and he's constantly cold. Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing I mean, you know it. They'll try to get us 'cause they closed for COVID. Holy shit, I think I'm poor.